And we know that when we can get them together, and any effective economic boycott, we have added a second barrel to our shotgun. Incidentally, I think the boycotts, or at least the picketing, that was done particularly in the East, and I understand some here, was of great help. Did you know that, I'm sure you must have read it in the papers, that something over 125 places have been desegregated in the South by four major concerns? Now, they took pains to say in their newspaper release that many of these were done without sit-ins, but I'd say none of them would have been done without the sit-ins. The student who boycotted in New York and in New Haven and in Philadelphia and here, I'm sure that had a grave effect. Dividends were cut down. I've understood that the Cressis firm did not issue a dividend for the period covered by the sit-ins. And I think my information is correct. But you see, we have another weapon added, and it's a powerful one. And if you can add those three weapons and come at a man from three sides, moral, legal, and economic, he has no avenue of escape. And that's new. Now, I'd like to point out in about 3 minutes some new values that I think have accrued to us from this experience. One is that the silent people, for whatever reason they were silent, the silent liberals, even the silent moderates, were led to speak. Ministers in Atlanta, Richmond, Chapel Hill, Durham, Raleigh, to be sure their speaking varied in tone and in intensity and how far it would go in favor of these youngsters, but they spoke. We had a judge. See if I've got time to read you. If you can imagine a Superior Court judge who's on a temporary appointment writing an article on the legal and moral aspects of the lunch counter protest, saying this, you will see what this did to white people. What is it, he says, the North Carolina Negro wants? To me, that is a very simple question with a very simple answer. I firmly believe that the basic wants of all men are the same. First, of course, the needs of the body, food, shelter, clothing. After those are met adequately, then I think every man wants human dignity and the respect, if not the affection, of his associates. Skipping a bit. Until recently, the Negro in North Carolina has had almost none of this thing I call human dignity. Skipping again. Whether wisely or not, the choice belongs to the Negro. He's talking about whether he wants to live paternalistically or whether he wants to live freely. Whether wisely or not, the choice belongs to the Negro, and he has made it, to give up the benefits of paternalism which go with second-class citizenship. That's a judge. Some 875 people signed their names to a full-page advertisement which appeared in our Chapel Hill newspapers urging the merchants to desegregate. And I think it means a great deal to a region when something is done in such a manner that whether through shame or through admiration, whatever route by which it comes, they have got to respond with something better than they've ever responded before. practically every city in which we've had sit-ins, if you'll watch the newspapers, you will find again and again professors writing letters. Duke University professors wrote letters. Vanderbilt professors wrote letters. Common citizens wrote letters, all appealing for fairness in this kind of thing. So that's a new value for the South. Secondly, I think it's been a value to the adult Negro in the South. When we started out, our Negro adults weren't with us. They were afraid, and that's understandable. Suppose your boy or girl had been in it. You think if you'd gone to a mass meeting, you would have encouraged it? No, you'd probably sat down with your youngster and said, well, look, that cop's liable to clout you on the head. And it's understandable why Negro adults' parents were against this. It's understandable, too, why the older Negro leadership was against it. They had been working and they felt effectively. They felt this would destroy everything. And so at the beginning of the movement, we had four Negro ministers nominated for a membership on the executive committee, and none would take it. They said, we would like to meet with you and advise you. We could get no church to meet in there. Before we had finished, two of those Negro ministers were proud to associate themselves with the executive committee, and there wasn't a Negro church in town we couldn't meet in. At our mass meetings, I suppose they were half the people were adults. And as a consequence of that sit-in, we now have an active NAACP. Until one of the leaders of the NAACP came in just before I left home and says, did you know the new bowling alleys are segregated? And I said, well, how did you find it out? We took our family down last week. And he says, we'll have to do something about it. Now, how that came about, of course, it must be quite complicated. But at least the Negro community has taken on new courage. Now, finally, I think the value to the younger Negro himself, and this we will never be able to really assess. We were sitting in the executive committee one time talking, one night. One of the younger kids says, won't it be good when we can go in there and sit down and they give us our dignity? One of the seniors says, he can't give you your dignity. You already got it. Now, I don't think they had it prior to February. I think they got it as soon as they got on the picket line. I think they got it when they did something about their own problem and did not leave it to their elders to solve. And whether or not they would ever have won and gotten into the Dayer Bar, even though we did, even if they never had won, the whole event would have been worth it in making them aware of their own self-respect and dignity, that all they needed to have was simply to know it was in them and to act. That means, I think, for the next few years, we're going to continue to have some kind of radical, in the best sense of the word, action out of the South. Because once a person has felt what it means to do something about your own problem rather than to depend on somebody else to do it, they're never the same. Things are all quiet right now on the city in front, but I don't think it will be long.